You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Somebody sends it to me. It is what it is. I guess they should be confident. If they're not confident, who's going to be confident for them? So they should be confident.
Does that juice you guys up at all more than?
Oh, no. Either? For what? We don't need to be juiced up for them talking. We beat them. So we don't need to get juiced that they say we're not on that level. That just that's dumb. Doesn't make sense. And I'm not sure stupidity juices anyone. It's like, oh, that's dumb. So, no.
That's Draymond Green. I guess talking about the Rockets. Rockets lost last night, 106-104. The Warriors got control of that game in the second half. It was what it was. Klay Thompson got a little hot at a variety of times yesterday. He had 30, 27 for DeMarcus Cousins, and 24 for Steph Curry. Draymond had two, but it was irrelevant. The Rockets just couldn't fill it up the way they needed to in stretches when you want to beat the Warriors with or without Kevin Durant. We forget now, they didn't have Kevin Durant when they won their title. They basically had this kind of team, this core. Now you've added a low post scorer, which is unusual for the offense they run, or at least people think it is. It's much more motion-based than the 1-4 sets that you see with the Houston Rockets. But Cousins gave it to Clint Capella with 27, and he stepped outside because he's not afraid to step outside and shoot from distance as well. Do you feel like that game, I felt like they were going to be up for the game. I absolutely felt like Golden State wanted to make a statement against the Houston Rockets, and I think they did. I don't know that it means anything in the grand scheme of things, but I would have much rather seen the Rockets put on a show and let the Warriors know that they... I don't want anything messing with Rockets' confidence. Let me put it that way. I don't want anyone having any doubts with the Rockets because that's an incredibly difficult team to beat. That's going to go down. The Warriors, when it's all said and done, are going to go down as one of the dominant teams in NBA history. We're in the midst of it, so it gets mentioned, but it doesn't get talked about a ton. But if they're in the championships again this year, and if they win again this year, that's what you're dealing with. The Rockets will have been unable to get past one of the dominant, and that's not really on James or the Rockets. It is their performances. I mean, we can pick at it, but this is going to be a team in Golden State who is mentioned in the history of basketball for years to come.
I mean, we watch how they came out and their defensive effort early. They were locked in defensively, the Warriors were. And then we watch how they celebrated at the end. I mean, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry particularly enjoyed getting the victory. I think it meant something to them because if only just to shut up the Rockets, beat you four times in the regular season stuff. They don't have to listen to that anymore. And they're a team that's supremely confident no matter what. They've treated this regular season kind of like their play thing. They'll get up for games that they want to get up for. Like Denver is the one that was one of the teams chasing them for the one seed and still were. They decided to beat the crap out of Denver because they wanted to. And that followed a game where they got embarrassed, I think, against the Celtics. So they play this regular season like they're a cat and the regular season is like a ball of yarn. They play. And they decided last night was a game they really wanted and they got it. But I don't know how much it really means other than Golden State still remains arrogant when it comes to the rest of the league. I think if the Rockets had beaten them for the fourth time, they wouldn't have shown it publicly, but they would have been like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, yeah, I think you had a chance to maybe mess with their confidence.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets are still confident, and I think it's still a matter of you got to play a certain brand of ball. And Rockets know what it is by this time. It's just hard to do. But I do think that you wanted to keep that team spiraling downhill. I was talking to my you know, I played this game. I couldn't play gun to your head with my son. So
it's a little aggressive.
Yeah, so Snacks, who is a notoriously anti, like, he's just quick to jump off his home team. We're watching, and it's, I think, 49-46, something like that. I said, the Rockets are winning. I said, who do you think's going to, at halftime, I said, who do you think's going to win? Rockets, I said, you're probably you're probably thinking the Warriors are going to win. You don't even have any confidence in the Rockets. He says, nope, I think the Rockets will win. I said, you do? He goes, yep, because he knows that I'm getting at him being, you know, not confident in his home team. So I say, let's do this. Let's play this game, Snacks. I'm going to put up $100 for the Warriors, and you're going to put up $100 whenever you get all your birthday money and Christmas money for the Rockets. And then whoever wins, if the Rockets win, you get my $100. And if the Warriors win, I get your $100. And he goes, I don't want to play that game.
Who wants to play that game?
That's what I thought. You aren't as confident as you acted.
Yeah. And he was right to not be as confident.
Post 100 up and let's see how confident
you
are.
You know how much $100 means to a little kid?
It might as well be a million.
Yeah, of course he's not betting.
It might as well be a million.
Yeah. All that. I don't know what your kid. Is it candy or is he a hot Cheetos and Takis still?
No, he's still. Well, he still likes. Yeah, then he has the Takis, like three of them. They're too spicy. So
yeah, you got to get him on like the cookie game and not just like Chips Ahoy out of the bag. You got to get him on like the Nestle Toll House
makes,
cookie game or
Mom
that too.
Mom makes cookies.
Yeah.
I got cookies in my house all the time. Nah, dude. Thanks for nothing.
Tiff's Treats, that's like the ultimate cookie if you're going to go. Or not.
What
ultimate.
Are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
With this
if you're,
Tiff's Treats.
What Basic. Is this?
You know what?
Is
I didn't
it better
know.
Than
Dale,
Chips Ahoy?
Did you call in
they
Mr.
Deliver
Basic?
Them hot.
Did you? Who ordered the pumpkin spice latte? Was that you?
Get out of
did
here.
Did you order that, Dale?
No, for him, maybe.
Tiff's Treats. I'll eat it, but yeah. I like Mama's bomb ass. She makes something called bomb ass cookies.
I'm just saying if...
Not Chips
homemade
Ahoy.
Are unavailable, and you're not trying
yeah.
to eat trash
okay.
ass Chips Ahoy.
Well, right. yeah, I
Tiff's
said don't go
better.
Chips, Chips Ahoy, and also Tiff's Treats are not everywhere. But if you're at a mall, you go Great American Cookie or you go Nestle Toll House, something.
Yeah,
but I was just trying to ask, what's the dessert of choice for your boy?
No, he. Oh no, he's on pie right now.
Pie's not bad. Is he a
blackberry pie from with one of those
blackberry artisan pie? He's looking at.
Oh yeah, he's right now. He's eating. He's eating the blackberry pie. I mean, he'll eat a pecan pie, but they got a blackberry pie at HEB. They're doing half pies now. My wife's just low-key
Wait a minute,
trying to just
you,
make
he,
me gain
yes.
about 30
Is
pounds.
He the one who doesn't like anything?
No, that's my son, Alec.
I was like, what do you mean blackberry
Alec
pie?
Alec is the most basic of all time. What do you like? This is how basic he is. I shouldn't tell this, but it's too bad.
too bad, so sad.
Kindergarten or first grade at his school, they said, bring your parents. And my son goes to a pretty diverse school, right? So there's a lot of Asian kids, Indian kids, Pakistani kids. There's a ton of different ethnicities there. And so they said, well, bring your family, you know, whatever your favorite recipe that your mom has, bring that in. And you need to know this about my wife. She's got a couple recipes that she's not part. You're not getting it. She's not letting anyone else have, like, her banana, her pumpkin bread. No one's getting it ever. Her cookie recipe, nope, nobody ever. You know what Alec did for his recipe book? He had HEB kolaches. He goes, first you take the kolache and you open up the plastic package. Then you take
that's
it out.
That's not a recipe.
You wrap it. Yeah, you wrap it in paper towel and then put it in a
microwave
for 30 seconds. This is what it was.
That's
my
not
wife
a recipe.
Was,
Those
my
are
wife was so embarrassed. That was his favorite meal. An HEB kolache.
Is it a sausage kolache?
Yes. And to this day, guess what he'll have for that and cheese quesadillas. Yeah.
Y'all need to get him on something.
He's so skinny. It's like he's, yeah, he's. Like, son, you got to start getting some protein.
You got to adapt.
Yeah.
Get him. He eats pizza, right?
What do you call
cheese,
pizza? There you go.
Cheese only?
Like pepperoni will be like,
if I have
guess to. I'll eat pepperoni.
If I have to.
Yeah. What is wrong?
And you're a foodie, too. It must be an embarrassment to you.
I mean, it's unexpected. You try going out of town. We're in Vancouver last year, summer, like.
Do you pack HEB kolaches with you?
No, but I already know the kids are going to order, and then they copy off of him. My kids go, they turn into basic Bettys as well whenever we're at restaurants. You know, like, what do you got? Just chicken strips. Chicken strips? Come on.
Get those any.
And the snacks goes, steak. You better be ordering off the kids' menu,
Kobe,
snacks. You're not getting steaks.
Kobe steak,
hold on.
Dad.
So you're,
no, snacks
you don't
want steaks
them to eat.
And lamb lollipops.
Well, okay, so... You don't want them to eat basic, but you also don't want them to...
I'm not asking them to eat off
You want them to stay in their lane.
Yeah, you ain't ordering a $30 to $50 steak. Come on. No. If they got steak on kids' menu, stay... Yeah. And every once in a while, you can step. Yeah, you. There's a lane, but it's not the solid yellow. You can cross over for certain
so
types
it's a
of
dotted
food.
Line.
Yeah,
it's a dash.
But if we go somewhere, and you're getting, if we go to a Mexican food restaurant, I want chicken strips or a hamburger. No,
Is there's a theme to this restaurant. We're not going American.
Yeah, you're not doing that. Let me get Charles in here so he doesn't have to wait. He wants to talk about Rockets Warriors. What's up, Charles? How you doing?
Hello.
Yeah, what's up, Charles?
Hey, good morning.
Good
guys.
Morning, Charles.
I had some things. Okay, I'm gonna get right to it.
Yep.
So after the game, I'm watching it on ESPN because I like to see what the national media perspective is on the team. Mm-hmm. Immediately after the loss, Mike Wilbon jumps out there and says, "Oh, this just proves that the Rockets aren't ready for the Golden State Warriors. They had a chance to go up 4-0 in the season series and win." Now, they're going to talk about Kevin Durant not playing in the game, which I absolutely hated from a Rockets standpoint because I didn't want to hear any excuses. But they're not going to recognize that at no other point in time during the series this season was the Rockets whole at all. Mind you, the Rockets, the last time we played the Golden State Warriors, played all five of their all-star caliber players, and there's no James Harden, and the Rockets still win. But now the media is not going to take that and say, well, this just proves that the Rockets, you know, they're the team that can match up with the Warriors. But when Kevin Durant don't play and the Warriors win with still four all-stars on the team, that's the issue. Now, this is what I've been telling people at the barbershop. I'm saying James Harden don't have to play the way he had been playing during the 32-game streak. He just simply needs to get his efficiency better going into the playoffs. And what I'm saying that is he didn't shoot inefficient from the field, but he shot inefficient from the three-point line. If he's more like, you know, 4-9, 4-10, then there's not a lot that you can attack about the way he played during the game. And I'm not saying it's James Harden's fault at all. Matter of fact, I mean, you'll take a lot of the shots that he got because those are the shots that he normally makes. You know, and P.J. Tucker's normally a little more efficient from the corner when he was missing a bunch of wide-open shots. The Rockets just didn't do themselves any favors. I don't see anything that makes me think, oh, wow, we can't compete with these guys. That's just the observation I had.
Yeah.
I don't see no reason why we should be afraid of the Golden State Warriors. And matter of fact, one last thing before I go, Kenneth Faried, that might have been his most ineffective game since he's been a Rocket.
Yep.
And I don't expect him to play, you know, down to that level probably again the rest of the season. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs. Kind of ready for these last 15 games to be over. I'm ready to get to the main event.
All right, appreciate it, Charles. And you know what? I don't like that either, where it was almost like Wilbon's just waiting to say, you got the Rockets with all these wins against the Warriors. This just proves they're not ready for the Warriors. Yeah. Well, what about when they beat him without Harden?
Well, that's not a story. He wants to tell today. He didn't want to tell that story last night.
I understand saying I don't think the Rockets can beat the Warriors. But using that as an excuse to say, well, this just shows they're not ready for him. What? They just got beat by the Phoenix Suns. But stop.
And Legler, he was asked about it because it was a doubleheader. Oklahoma City won their game after being down big to Brooklyn. With the Rockets lost, they're now they're tied with the same record. They're now the 3-seed Oklahoma City, so that'll go down throughout, probably go down to the final week, if not the final game for seeding. Legler said he likes the Oklahoma City Thunder as the biggest challenge to the Warriors. So it was
wow.
He said that last night. Said
PG
that,
gets all the love right now, though.
And he said their length and even he was talking about Terrence Ferguson, who was you know, the Roberson replacement, but a better shooter. So he thinks they have more options offensively than they've had in the past. So he sided with
the
Thunder as the biggest threat to the Warriors. So
James Harden, the last five, by the way, shooting 25% from the three-point line. Speaking to Charles's inefficiency comment, I would say that has been an issue, including 2 of 12, 3 of 9, and 3 of 15 from 3 over the last three games. Well, you can go back to 3 of 11 right before that. So the last four, you've got 11 of 47. Not the efficient Harden that we've come to see before. So he's in a little bit of a downward turn. But you just need to get him right and headed back in the right direction before the playoffs start. That's Dell. I'm Lance. That's Tyler. And we'll be back here in just about 4 minutes. Keep it right here on the bench on 97.5.
answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So yesterday, Kyler Murray, who is rumored to be the top guy in the draft, number one to the Arizona Cardinals, he had his pro day. And a lot of us were very interested to see what his height and weight would be at the pro day, and then his quickness numbers, what they would be at his new weight, and could he maintain his weight. So here's what happened. Kyler Murray got into the room. Now, every prospect ever, people always ask this because they don't know the process. At Senior Bowl, at East-West Shrine Game, you get NFLPA game, these all-star games, you get height, weight, arm, and hand length all measured. Then you get it again at the combine. Now, Kyler Murray didn't go to a all-star game. He was a junior. Juniors don't go to all-star games. They're not allowed to at this particular time. So then he went to the combine, got those measurements, 28-inch arms or whatever, hand size was what it was, 207, 5'10", and 1/8". So at the pro day, everyone was interested to see if his height would be the same because everyone felt like that height was a little different. Now, I know there's a school of thought, I guess, that you're at your tallest early in the day, but as the day wears on, you compress, I guess. That's out there, that your body begins to, your spine compresses a little bit and you can lose as much as a half inch of height, whatever. This is in the morning or early afternoon, I guess, late morning. And so Kyler Murray got on the scale, which is important to teams. Can you maintain the weight? He had lost 2 pounds to 205. I think most teams wonder if he can stay up over 200, but he was down to 205. But still maintained all that weight other than 2 pounds. So then when it came time to get measured for height, he's like, no, I'm good. And I've never seen that before where somebody said they're not going to measure height. This isn't choosing to not work out at a combine or whatever. I've always felt like it's kind of an understood mandatory. Kyler said, nope, not going to. Every member of Oklahoma also refused to get measured for height in like a show of solidarity. So
it's not Kyler being difficult. This is just what we do here.
Yeah. It's just like, no, we just don't do heights here.
No.
We only care about weights.
Yeah.
So everyone got on the scale for weights. Nobody had heights. And even guys who had a pro day who maybe hadn't been at combine, I guess, they didn't get their height taken. Like, I'd be like, man, Kyler Murray, I'm trying to get my height out here.
Hey, man, I just want people.
I need this. You know what that tells me? Kyler Murray was like, when they called out Kyler Murray at combine, 5'10 and 1/8". He's like, word? 5'10"?
Man,
okay.
Getting measured early in the day helped me. I'm at my tallest.
Like 8 a.m.
Why couldn't he just get on one of those like inversion boards for 30 minutes?
Oh, I guarantee you that's probably happened. Where you're just hanging upside down. Yeah. Snap, 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 where the back just unfurls. But Kyler didn't do his height. And then he didn't run a 40 and didn't do any quickness drills.
He said, the film tells you how fast I am.
Well, so I had, people on, Lance, can you believe Kyler Murray? One guy said, if he didn't run a 40, we just don't. That's that muddies the picture if I'm the Arizona Cardinals. And I said, hold on. Are you honestly concerned about if he's fast enough? Well, at this weight, we just don't know anymore.
He's not playing wide receiver.
Yeah. I said, I guarantee you that if I gave you that he is faster right now than the number 10 wide receiver in the draft. You could take the number 10 at the combine time and Kyler Murray, maybe number 12, and Kyler Murray's 100% faster at 205. I said, are you really concerned that he's I said, at worst case scenario, he's a 4.6. That's not fast enough for you, a quarterback? And then he didn't do the short. I said, let's just be real about this. You just want to know how fast he is. This really has nothing to do with the Arizona Cardinals. We're all just curious how fast Kyler Murray is. That's all it is. Just say it. Just say it out loud. He said, well, I don't even understand why they even do throwing drills either at the pro day. Why would you even have to do that? You already know I said, because he didn't throw at the combine. You've got the tape. The tape tells you everything. No, it doesn't, dummy. You're going against West Virginia secondary. You're going against Kansas State secondary. Let a guy throw. Are we getting where no one has to do anything ever? Give him as much money as you possibly can in sports
yeah.
and never make anyone earn anything ever?
You're asking me to do things that aren't football related. I showed you what I'm capable of on the field against 11 other guys.
You're an arguer.
Yeah.
You're just being an arguer.
This is Dell's whole thing that he does when he argues. What is me playing against air going to prove to you?
It should be easy. It should be the easiest game you've ever had. Well, Teddy Bridgewater was burning worms at his pro day, and Johnny...
Yeah, and all he did was win 11 games in a season. Thank you. It matters what you do on the field
and then
against
what
players,
did he do?
Lance. Well, he got hurt. That had nothing to do...
Well, he wasn't...
He got hurt.
Teddy wasn't a great quarterback. We all feel bad what happened to Teddy's leg.
Look.
It was a little played, a little overplayed about how dominant Teddy Bridgewater was at Minnesota.
Led a drive that his team would have won a playoff game until, you know, the kicker was terrible.
Now I'll play the role of John. Oh, are we having an almost playoff win parade?
Yeah. For Teddy, yeah. He put his team in a position to win a playoff game.
So Kyler actually threw the ball really well at Pro Day, and it does matter. It does matter to teams. What your height, your weight, your quickness, your speed is. In this particular instance, I don't think his quickness and speed is in doubt. I don't really care. It's really more morbid. It's really more curiosity about whether or not he hit 5'10 again. Let's be honest about this. If you don't like small quarterbacks, you don't like Kyler Murray. And it's that simple. Whether he's 5'9 and whatever or 5'10 and an 8, you're not going to like him. So the height really is kind of overplayed. You either don't like him because of his height or you do. And I don't really think that magic 5'10", because it used to be a magic 6-foot number.
Won't all this stuff like leak whenever he works out for whatever team?
What do you mean?
Do they measure and
like,
individual
won't they
workouts?
Measure all that stuff?
No, they didn't get a measure yesterday.
No, individual workouts.
Like if he works out for the Cardinals, won't they take all these measurements and somebody will probably leak it out?
No, they don't measure. I don't think they measure it individuals. They may ask him to. A team could ask him to. And Kyler could say no, and they could say, thank you for your time. We're done here. I mean, that could happen, but Kyler's in a position right now where I don't know if he should die on that hill. Just measure. It's fine. If you need to see him run a 40, I don't know what's it. You're just curious how fast he is. That's all it is. He's definitely fast enough. Solis thinks he is, and he has a baseball hose. He does. He can air it out. And Kyler does hold all the cards. He's got the leverage now because he probably knows he's the first pick with Arizona. So why is he doing any of that stuff? My guess is Kyler Murray, they had him, the combine stuff, had him at the gambling, had him at 5'4"1. I thought he was slower. 5'4"1 is blazing fast.
5'4"1?
Yeah. I'm sorry, 4'4"1.
Okay.
Yeah, 4'4"1. That's blazing fast. I thought Kyler Murray might be closer to a 4'4"8. Mm-hmm. Which is unbelievably fast anyway. I know he's ridiculously quick. There's a difference between quick and fast. I didn't think he's 4.41, but he's very fast for a quarterback and very, very quick.
Do you think at some point we're going to hear about Kyler Murray being the newfangled athlete who he starts getting compared to guys in the league who've taken control of their own destiny? Like Antonio Brown, will that become a draft season story? Well, Kyler's not doing this. He's doing all these things that previous potential number one overall picks didn't do.
Yeah, I think with some people it could. And there's a danger in that because if you think you're just going to change the way things are done because one or two guys do it, that's not, you end up costing yourself a lot of money. You got to be very, very careful with, you know, Le'Veon Bell thought he would change a game this year and he ended up losing money for himself. This is not a hill to die on at all. Guys just want to know basic. They want to see what you got, and you're putting on a show. And people who try to act like I just can't stand these warriors for the want to quote unquote affect change for athletes that don't need it. The athletes don't need you. There are so many people on Twitter who think they need to protect athletes. No one needs protecting. These guys are competitors. Zion didn't need protecting. Zion's a competitor. And when you have Kyler Murray, this is in college, they want to see how you perform with all the teams there. And by the way, the Giants were there in full force. And everyone's assumed it's not the Giants type of quarterback. And yet they were there because they wanted to see Kyler Murray. So I would say your mock draft should have Kyler Murray number one by now. And my next mock draft is going to come out next week, and I'll have Kyler Murray number one. I don't know what I'm going to do with the Texans.
As long as you've learned your lesson and don't put them with the Raiders.
Oh, and Charlie Cashley.
They've got their guy.
I feel so bad with Charlie Cashley. They had him there at the pro day, and I was listening to someone. He goes, I can tell you this right now. I don't know what you do for grades and all the other stuff. This is an A-plus performance now right here. Kyler Murray is just killing the game. He's out here just slaying it.
Do you think he has a better back pedal than Bradley Roby does?
Oh, it's right now, Charlie is low in fluid in his back pedal.
Got great hips.
Like, he's so worried about Twitter getting after him again. Hey, this kid's one of... Now, this is a generational quarterback now. Like,
Charlie,
you don't have to...
Don't worry.
It's okay.
You don't have to cape for Kyler. You're good. It's over now.
And the network just hired a guy named Mark Ross, who used to be with the Giants. I know Charlie's like, hey, wait a minute now. This guy's not getting my spot, all right?
I'm the executive here.
Yeah.
I'm the former NFL
executive. Former executive with Super Bowl ring. See? Kyler Murray, number one. Best quarterback I've seen. Reminds me of Elway.
Even though they're nothing alike.
No. Is that okay, Internet?
He's a combination of Elway, Marino, and Brady.
Yeah. With this, a tiny Mike Vick. What? What? Not Mike Vick. Slow white guy. He reminds me of a slow white quarterback. See? No, he does. It's okay. You can tell the truth.
Harrington.
Yo, this guy reminds me of... See? He reminds me a lot of Drew Bledsoe. Like, no, that's the exact opposite, Charlie. You don't have to play that game.
And don't lowball with Drew Bledsoe. We don't want to hear about...
No, that's where you get in trouble for lowballing with Drew Bledsoe. Don't lowball yourself when it comes... You know, when I was looking for a... I wanted to buy a patio. I almost left town to go to another radio gig out of town. I'm like, man, I got to stay in Houston. I don't want to go to another city. But one of the decisions I made was, you know what? If I'm doing that, I want to make my house what I want to live in, and I want to get a patio. So I started looking around, and I said something on Twitter, and different people came into the direct messages and said, well, why don't you use this company? Why don't you use us? And look at this beautiful pergola that we installed. Pergola, those are just like slats of wood that water will come right through. I want something that's better than this. I mean, pergola looks fine, but it's not that functional. And then I found Texas Custom Patios, and I was blown away by the work that they had done. And then once I met Stephen Shell, the owner, and I went through the design process with them, where they'll design what your home will look like. Oh, my gosh. It blows you away. It shows you exactly what your home will look like. And they stayed true to that. The workmanship and the quality is off the charts. I ended up upgrading and getting windows and siding done as well to really make it an entire upgrade of the back of my home. And I was out there watching a basketball game yesterday with the kids. It's just so great to have your own space, whether it's an outdoor kitchen, an outdoor patio, a standalone patio that they can build. The workmanship is unbelievable, and it adds dollar for dollar value to your home. You're adding value to your home that you will get back when you sell it. It's a big differentiator. If you don't believe me, go to the website tcplance.com. You can see the before and the after. And Steven is the one who took that before space and said, oh man, this is a great space for a patio. And he saw it, he envisioned it, he put it together, and I'm the one benefiting now. TexasCustomPatios.com, or to see the work they did for me on a before and after, go to tcplance.com.
Loaded Red Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN 97.5 and Netflix want to send you and a guest to the pre-screening of The Highwaymen on March 18th at 7 p.m. at Studio Movie Grill City Center. The Highwaymen follows the untold true story of the legendary detective played by Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, who brought down Bonnie and Clyde. Caller 10 at 713-780-3776. I didn't say Netflix that time. Caller 10, 713-780-3776 wins a pair of reserved seats to the pre-screening of Netflix's The Highwaymen on March 18th at 7 p.m. at Studio Movie Grill in City Center. So a caller 10, 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets. That's pretty cool.
I just sent my wife a text. that still bubbles.
What did you write to her?
I told her what today was about the steak.
Steak and mouth hug day?
And whatnot. That's an aggressive thing to say. I just call it steak and whatnot.
No, mouth hug.
And it was a long.
Hugs are nice, right?
Okay, yeah. So
everyone likes a hug.
She said, so we don't even celebrate Valentine's Day by saying it, much less gifts.
Huh.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. It sounds like it'll be steak and pelvis out mouth hug day. Like those those awkward hugs that like a girl doesn't really want to hug you.
Oh, yeah. Like,
but you want to.
Hi. And it's the tap on like, the back.
Guys, I don't like giving tips about this sort of thing, but I will give you one thing. And for guys who are in their 20s and 30s, probably doesn't happen as often. But if you're on spring break and you're at home and you're a high school kid or maybe just driving around, maybe for whatever reason, just going to get breakfast or something, do not ask a girl for a hug. Mm-mm. Don't initiate. If a girl wants to hug you, she'll initiate the hug. If you come in asking for a hug, you'll notice that you're always giving you're getting a pelvis out hug.
Oh, way out.
Because they're not looking to hug you. Don't ever initiate the hug.
I thought we're not allowed to do any of that stuff anymore.
Anyway. No, but in high school, guys, maybe they don't do it anymore. Maybe they're woken up.
No, but I remember in high school, you're like, hey, yeah, that was the big thing was to try to
like,
get hugs.
Guys always wanted the touch of a female, so it's safe. They think it's safe. If they, hey, can I get a hug? If you ask for a hug, realize the pelvis out hug is probably a 70% possibility.
Yeah, and
don't ever ask.
And that's why you stay in a friendship zone anyway.
Yeah, if you're asked for hugs from a girl, you're already a friend, and she's right to give you pelvis out hugs. Or maybe you get a side hug too, which is almost as bad.
I then said, what does that have to do with anything? This is basically like my birthday. She said, you guys created this because of Valentine's Day.
Well, you created Valentine's Day because you wanted gifts.
I know.
So that's what you respond with.
Since we don't celebrate that, we don't celebrate this.
Oh, well.
There's nothing to reciprocate here. I had to come up with something else.
Yeah. How about we set a new, hey, let's start a new tradition with steak and mouth hug day.
We go to your marathons.
And you think this is?
In different cities.
Ooh. I sacrifice for you.
Yeah.
Sacrifice for me.
As trips.
Remember.
I just don't think this is going to. It's not going
bring
to.
Bring up
I,
that.
Like, there's not going to be any. There's no conversion.
What you
right
should
here.
Do is to start a real fight and be like, I bet if Rhett Miller asked. Don't text. Well, it's your marriage.
What if
Rhett Miller put it in a song and said, ladies, maybe you don't want to go scorched earth. You go. What if Rhett Miller put it in a song and said, ladies, celebrate, mouth and...
I said, what if Rhett Miller asked, and I said, better be no.
No, what you're supposed to do...
I don't like these three bubbles. I don't like seeing the text bubbles now.
You're supposed
to... Well, they can't...
Oh.
She reversed. She went... I don't think she's... Somebody's texting her like, do you know this is on the radio?
What you should have done is, what if Rhett Miller put it in a song and was and saying, ladies, celebrate... Steak and mouth hug day with your husbands. What if Rhett Miller pushed that narrative?
Ain't gonna matter. My wife is a very strong woman.
I can see
she
that.
Gets her opinions set, and that's that.
She doesn't change her mind at all. No,
it's she's open minded enough, but she can be
this.
Convinced, but not on. But typically not. No, she's got her own. Yeah, I'm not even getting an answer on that one. So I may have now crossed over into the danger zone.
You shut down this conversation.
Yeah, it probably didn't work good.
I would advise you don't. I'm not married. Don't take my advice on those things.
How do you think the city would burn to the ground if the Texans signed Blake Bortles as a backup? If they didn't do
anything else
in free agency,
he was the major name they brought in,
and they brought in Blake Bortles as a backup. I feel like that would almost antagonize the fan base.
It would piss people off.
And that the Texans want another backup. I've heard this, and I know this. Blake Bortles is somebody that I could see Bill O'Brien getting behind. He's somebody who could run some zone read stuff if you put that in for, which we really don't see a lot of. We see it every once in a while. I could envision him running Deshaun's offense as a backup. If Texans fans brought him in, or if the Texans brought him in as a backup, I feel like all you'd be doing, the Texans fans would feel like that's a troll. I just feel like that's almost an antagonistic signing. Where it would make people mad.
It would anger people, particularly if Blake Bortles, in name only, is the biggest name you bring in. because you've lost half of your second starting secondary. You've replaced them with guys people probably know their names but aren't too sure if they're any good. If that's if that is your largest name signing, people are going to be mad. Particularly, we all know Blake Bortles is a trash can. They well that that. That'll be what fans have called him for years. Oh, that trash can? Why are we bringing in that?
No.
Why are we bringing in that garbage player? We all know what Clowney thinks of him.
Oh yeah.
We probably.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
We all know what the Texas defense probably doesn't have a lot of respect for Blake Bortles.
You know what?
It probably would not sit well overall. Forget about the fans.
But this is a backup.
Yeah, but even still, you want to be able to believe that guy can win you a game if Deshaun gets hurt.
Like Brandon Weeden.
Not that Brandon Weeden. Well, Brandon Weeden's done it before, but at least I don't think there's the same level of disrespect for Brandon Weeden that there would be for Blake Bortles if he was
but
a backup.
Blake Bortles is better, I think, than Brandon Weeden, right? He's got to be.
You would think, but the Texans don't consistently mangle,
I'm telling you
mangle
right
Brandon
now,
Whedon's life like they do to Blake Bortles.
Unless somebody gives Blake Bortles a shot as a starter, I don't think it's crazy that the Texans could end up with Blake Bortles as a backup.
There's no reason to think Blake Bortles couldn't be a backup someplace, but the Texans...
Yeah, that's what he is. Yeah, he's a good backup.
The Texans have seen him close up for years now, and outside of 1 year, they know that, or they believe at least, that guy's terrible. They don't know that Brandon Whedon's terrible because they don't face Brandon Weeden on a week-to-week basis. In the times he's come in, he's been, I guess, serviceable and won a game or two. Maybe just one. I don't remember how many he's won as a spot starter. They bring in Blake Bortles. That entire defense is like, get this trash-ass quarterback out of our face. Now, they don't have the big personalities that the Jaguars do. Like, someone tweeted out, finally, Jalen Ramsey can call Blake Bortles trash.
You know he wants to.
Now that he's not
you
on,
know he's going to.
Now that he's not on the team. But you know, if Clowney is any indication, you know they don't respect that guy.
As soon as he got released, I'm surprised that there's not a gif of somebody rolling out on a dolly a couple trash cans to the side of the sidewalk.
I'm sure there is someplace.
I'm surprised he doesn't have that out there.
There's got to be someplace.
He might be filming that today just so he has his own gif that he started himself. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Look, the Blake Bortles
would be good.
The Blake Bortles signing would probably do more to piss off Texans defenders than they would Texans fans.
You're probably right. And that's as a backup. That just goes to tell you how salty people are right now. We get to a couple of news. We got to get some new topics, new subjects. Colin McHugh did something that Dell thinks might be a passive-aggressive shot at his own team. And it feels like it. Either that or he's...
completely unaware.
Is wildly unaware of the situation in Houston. It's 8:46 here on the bench.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Look, y'all over here talking about sports. Derek Carr videos we're about to play. Mm-hmm. I'm out here getting chills from the Avengers Endgame trailer. What? I'm ready. I'm ready already.
So Avengers Endgame, this has been talked about. My son's basketball team, their coach, who was a really good coach, Matt Bray, if you ever get a chance to.
Shout out to Matt Bray.
Shout out to Matt Bray, Lamar Consolidated. But he really was a good coach. And he let the kids have their own nicknames on the back of their shirt. Snacks put Cobra on the back of his shirt, which pissed me off. That's not your name, son. That's not your nickname. One kid was Thanos.
Oh.
One kid got to put Thanos. But here's the plays. They had a play called Fortnite was an inbounds play. They had one called Avengers Endgame was one of their that was the sideline play. Was Avengers Endgame. And there was another one. What was the other? They had another Avengers, like an Avengers. I can't believe that Avengers has got. And then I saw Shazam. And as a little kid, I grew up with Shazam. And they're making Shazam is just some clown ass.
Well, the kid. Dude. The kid's in it too. Apparently,
kid?
It'll be a kid. I saw a trailer for it, maybe a commercial for it. There actually is a kid in the movie, and then his power is he becomes like this adult superhero. But there will be a kid playing that role.
It just looks like a clown ass show. That's Marvel. DC?
I don't know. That's DC.
It's the dude from...
You don't respect DC, right?
Nobody
Their movies
does.
Aren't as good. Chuck, the dude
what do you
who...
mean nobody does?
Their movies aren't as good.
Isn't
that
Batman
is.
Too?
Batman, but that
oh,
was
but
a...
nobody considers that like, a the DC Christopher movie. Nolan DC movie. Like, the Christopher Nolan trilogy, nobody really considers
yeah,
that
it's,
DC.
It's a, they have... It's DC proper or characters, but no one considers that a DC movie. The dude who's playing Shazam is the dude from Chuck, right?
Zachary yeah, I think Levi. So. Yeah.
Whatever. No one cares.
I know, but...
Doesn't have the same gravitas as Avengers. Shazam.
So you like the Endgame?
All I'm saying is Captain Marvel's barely in it at the end. The Hulk.
So this
not
been...
the Hulk. Thor pulls his hammer and goes, I like this one, talking to her or whatever. She doesn't say a word in the trailer.
So my kids have been talking about Endgame. So has this just been out there forever?
Well, this the was... Idea? It's the culmination of the start of this franchise. Not the franchise, but this universe. It's the culmination of that. There'll be more movies, but this is... And I think maybe Captain Marvel may lead the next generation. Who knows? Depends on how... Well, her movie was well received. But this is the culmination of the first Iron Man, all the other movies we've seen. This is the culmination of it. So that's why it's
so
such a big deal.
So they're all in it?
Well, they're all... Some half of them are dead, but we all imagine they'll find a way to bring them back.
How much? What was the one? Oh, what was the last one that had Thanos? I never saw.
It
that.
Was the
Infinity
Wars.
Yeah. So
Infinity War, excuse me.
So all the big names were in that one.
Yeah, everybody. They combined all of them.
How expensive is that to make?
Well, I look for the budget, but it's not
because they know they're going to make $100 billion.
Yeah, they don't.
They already know that's a lock. So, and all you stands who are movie critics, too, are going to say, Rotten Tomatoes, 1 million. This is a great movie. Because when is the last time one of those movies got a bad review?
They all make money, even the ones who don't have the greatest reviews.
Infinity War's budget was $316 to $400 million.
That seems incredibly high.
Yeah.
And I don't know why there's a big discrepancy. There's probably
maybe
factoring in like
promotion and stuff.
Effects
who knows?
And stuff like that. But... Their box office, they cleared $2 billion.
Yeah, they're fine.
International?
Combined, worldwide.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's $2
billion. It's $2 billion dollars worldwide.
Well, domestic, $2 billion would be insane.
Domestic,
it has to be. Yeah,
domestic was probably
$2
billion. Shy of a billion, though.
And forever, it's always been about kids. Like, from the very, very beginning, they started figuring out in the 80s and into the early 90s with Cabbage Patch Kids. They start realizing, damn, look how crazy people act over this. Probably a third of the fights on Black Friday videos on YouTube, because I've been in that rabbit hole, come from two women fighting over a kid's
toy
that is the hot toy for that, for at that particular time. You just create this surge of demand. And, like, that's the hot thing, and all kids want to have it. But the Toy Stories, wow. Toy Story, man, that's we did huge dollars on that. Let's do Toy Story 2. Toy Story 2. That's like, what, late 90s, early 2000s? That's when they started figuring out, hold up. And then Pixar, they started realizing, wait a minute, we can make a ton of movies for kids. And then they went from kids into what they thought were just tweens, with all the DC comic, with all the Batmans, and then all the, we'll catch the nostalgic, and then we'll catch the kid. What they didn't realize, I don't think, is that all these Marvels, the Marvels are hitting from the 50s
like
down to 5.
Yeah.
It hits 550.
Yeah.
Black, white, Hispanic, male, female. It hits everybody. Not me.
No.
I'm not really.
And not John.
Well, I mean.
He's too busy looking for the next Hobbit sequel.
Yeah. That which to me is like he loses all his
anti-cartoon
yeah, credibility.
You can't be hardcore like hating on Marvel,
yeah,
and then
Game of Thrones, and then be a stand
Tolkien,
for all of the J.R.R. Tolkien stuff. You can't. I just don't feel like you can do it. You mean Thor Oakenshield, John? What's the difference between Thor Oakenshield and Thor Ragnarok? Come on.
One of them can fly, I guess. With his hammer.
Yeah.
Biggest thing. So sorry to deter you from talking about Derek Carr. I'm just saying the culmination of about 10 years of movie making and movie watching of mine ends April 26th.
That's the end of phase
That's
one, as they call it.
Or I thought it was
or are we
phase
already
four.
In phase
yeah,
because,
no one would want to keep making money.
No, it's the end of phase three. then they go into the next Spider-Man movie, which is in July, is the start of Phase 4.
There's a Phase 4 coming.
Yeah, they're going to keep making
them. Yeah, there's going to be...
This last Spider-Man, I don't see how that was even a thing. That doesn't feel like any kind of a...
Which Spider-Man?
Spider-Man Homecoming or
the one where there's a cartoon is...
Oh, you mean the one...
That might as well be Star Wars Legos.
You mean the one that won an Oscar?
For what?
The best animated feature.
Best animated feature, yeah.
What? I can't believe we have animated feature now.
Well,
we have to.
People love animated movies.
Kobe won an Oscar last year.
For a short, right?
It was still an animated short, yeah.
Yep. We'll break it right here.
Screw you, Derek.
We have.
I don't want to talk about you anymore.
One sports agent who's listening said Texans fans will vomit blood if they sign Blake Bortles.
Yeah, people will be pissed
as a backup quarterback. But it was just the name Blake Bortles.
They would take anyone else. They'd be like, why couldn't we have signed?
That's
Tyrod?
That's unfair.
Why they'd be like, why didn't we sign Tyrod?
That's unfair. It's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, but they would say Tyrod Taylor was available. How come we didn't sign him? Wouldn't he fit? What
I think so.
That what the Texans want to do?
I feel like, I don't know if he's as accurate as a Blake Bortles, who is a pinpoint passer.
Wow, you are.
That's a
you
reach.
Are just telling lies.
I know, that's a flat out lie. We come back. What happens when Antonio Brown, he of the throne water coolers, and you know all his histrionics, he met with Derek Carr. How did that go? Much different than you might expect. It's 8:59 here on the bench.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.